following program is suitable for all audiences.
Let's let this hard water pay off. Let's cut it loose, ball out, let's put a lot of freaking points up on the board. Let's go. Every day we improve, right?
Yep.
Reset, job not done.
That's us, play by play, next play mentality. Josh, love you, bro.
Love you too.
I want you to take a second to think about everything, every one of you gave up to be in this position right here. I don't care what you did, you had to give something else to have this opportunity. So take advantage every night. Play ball like you're loving. Here we go.
Come on, boy, let's eat up, man.
Get it.
Like we talked about earlier this week, it's the opportunity for us to stack this game. Let's go ahead and execute and be the playmakers out there. Let's go. Playmakers on three. 1, 2, 3.
Playmakers. Yeah.
I'm gonna challenge you right now for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Trubisky throwing, left side of the end zone. Catch is made, touchdown there.
Attaboy, attaboy. Great job.
Snap, Trubisky throws the slant right. Robinson's in the end zone. Executed drive puts the Bears in front.
Come on, boys, keep out. Demo, hell of a run, bro.
Welcome to people around the world listening to the latest new episode of Bearlissimo with George Bayless. My name is Aldo Gandia. We are coming to you live on Tuesday, February 11th, 2020 on our Mixlr.com channel. That's Mixlr.com. Just search Bears Barroom Radio Network if you want to interact with fellow fans and also ask questions. I am going to let George Bayless introduce his special guest.
What's up there, listeners? It's Bearlissimo of Bears Barroom Radio Network, and I'm very pleased today to bring to you a very special guest live on the show. He's the son of Brad, a 13-year NFL offensive lineman and all-pro at the position, son of Kelly, a very proud mother, brother to Colin, a baseball player catcher who played at Western Kentucky and is now at Indiana, brother to Gentry, a sister who dances for the University of Tennessee, second in the national championships, a family full of talent. Bryson Hopkins has stood out for himself at the Purdue Boilermakers. He only started playing high school football in his junior year. He started off playing basketball at Ensworth, Nashville, Tennessee. Quickly he set himself apart from his peers, earning All-State honors as a senior. After showing his physicality in a game of picket basketball, he was offered a scholarship at Purdue. A four-year contributor at Purdue, increasing his production every single year. Preseason Mackey Award watch list and semi-finalist for the honor. But he was the winner of the Qualic Clark Tight End of the Year, Big Ten Tight End of the Year, Senior Bowl standout, man amongst boys, route running, defense blocking, touchdown scoring, future draftee, and let's face it, hopefully future legend for the Chicago Bears, Bryson Hopkins. Pleased to meet you, Bryson.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, we're pleased to have you, Bryson. Thanks for joining us. And I've been looking forward to this. I don't mind sharing with you all week. Bit of a man crush. I'm securing my masculinity as a 46-year-old man. I'm happy enough to accept the fact that watching you play tight end throughout your collegiate history and seeing the improvement year on year, and even going back and looking at some of your huddle tape, I've been nothing but impressed with the way that you've stood out in your own right. And even with, you know, one or two things going against the college as a whole in terms of injuries and setbacks like that, you've impressed greatly, certainly with your ability to not only be able to cope with that, but to be able to contribute on offense and pull people along with you and sort of keep people going. You were moved everywhere. When I watch you on tape, it seems like you're moved everywhere, which is definitely going to be a strength when it comes to if the Chicago Bears are lucky enough to draft you.
How tough is it as a challenge, knowing that throughout high school and your collegiate game, that you were one of the main things that defenses wanted to take away?
You know, going into the game, you just got to think that, you know, they might be game prepping some of the better players or scouting, and, you know, also having Rondale Moore on my team. That took a lot of the attention away from me, which I used to my advantage until he unfortunately got hurt. I'm sure everyone knew about that. But also, that was just a big opportunity for me to step up and show my skill set. So going in, you know, you never know how much they're going to game prep for you, but hopefully it's not enough. And you can really go out there and show my athleticism and play well. So.
Well, I certainly feel that you did that. And as a Big Ten tight end of the year, having three quarterbacks starting in your senior year must have been difficult. And as a leader on the team and, you know, a player that other players on the team look up to, it must have been a real challenge for you on the field. Can you tell our listeners about sort of what kind of experience that is on a sort of a day-to-day basis whilst you're in college, you're still doing your degree, you know, in meeting rooms and personally, the kind of what kind of challenges that was for you on a day-to-day, not only sort of at game day, but also during the week in terms of your contribution to the team?
Yeah, you know, this year we actually had about five seniors that were actually on the field playing by the end of this year. I think it might have been four. So with that just means a lot of eyes looking at me, a lot of young people coming into the program and just looking up to me and me realizing the pressure that is on me and not handling it as pressure, but just kind of taking that pressure and running with it and realizing that I'm in a great position. I have a great opportunity. All eyes are on me, and I can showcase my skill set and what I've learned and how I've improved here at my years at Purdue. And I actually graduated in December, so I'm no longer working on my degree anymore.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm focusing a lot on football. But, you know, just being up there, and also I had a lot of help from even leaders like Marcus Bailey and Elijah Sindelar, who unfortunately weren't able to finish the season. They were still around there in the locker room, just providing that hype and leadership that we needed in order to continue the season and see success. And you could say it might not have gone the way that we wanted to, but I saw a lot of resilience and fight in our young players. And I think they handled the adversity that we put on them and put them in that situation very well. I think they did a great job of just stepping up to the plate. And even though there was a lot of pressure on us seniors to handle that adversity, I think a lot of us were prepared for what was to come.
I mean, that certainly seemed to, again, in the year, if people go back and look at the Purdue games this year, you'll see a lot of freshman contributors. And I think that in part is due to them being so well integrated into the team and that sort of brotherhood that you build up when you're within a team, and certainly when you're spending, you know, most of your days together as a collegiate team, there's probably even more time spent together than there will be when you're in the NFL. And certainly you've transitioned between being a high school senior to being a collegiate freshman, so I'm not going to ask you too much in terms of how difficult that transition would be. What I would like to address is that there's a bit of a knock on your game from draft analysts, not me, I've got to say. They sort of knock your blocking. Now, I see it as more than that, because I look at it contextually in the fact that, you know, you're maybe not asked to do as much blocking at Purdue. You're one of the main receiving threats on the team, certainly in your senior year. But when I do watch you in the game tape, sort of every single play, I do see you being able to position yourself well. You use good feet. Your hips are in good positions. Your hand usage is pretty good. Sometimes, if I am going to criticize you on one thing, and I promise this is the only thing I will criticize you on, is sometimes
you're fine. Go ahead.
Sometimes a little out of balance. So it's sometimes a little bit prone to being pulled. But what I do see is that you certainly have the ability and want to put a defender on his back to spring a huge game. Is that something that you actually look forward to doing, and seeing players like George Kittle, who transition from being wide receiving threats almost as a tight end to being just out and out monsters in the blocking game? Is that something that you feel that you can transition to?
Yes, most definitely. And you know, you mentioned George Kittle. I try to model myself after this game, as hard as that is, as much as I can, just because he dominates in every aspect of what he's asked to do. He's got great technique. You know, he's an athlete and he uses his athleticism well. But when it comes to blocking and using your technique and having low pad level, using your leverage, getting hands inside and driving your feet, keeping your base, it's something that I'm still improving. I'm trying to improve on, and I think that I have the ability to do it well. Of course, you know, I would just like to even a 5-pound difference in me, it makes defenders harder to move me. So I think that'll be an improvement. That's something that I'm working on as well. But, you know, I have the ability for sure. I would just say that as far as what I'm working on, I just want to get a lower pad level. Like you said, I would love to. And with that leverage comes that balance that you're talking about. So as long as I'm low and I have a good base and people can't pull on me and move me as much, and I'm able to drive my feet and cause them to be off balance, that's how I'm going to get that move off the line of scrimmage that we need. But, you know, I wouldn't say that my blocking is necessarily bad. I'm not saying anyone said that. You know, people do have their opinions, and, you know, to each his own. But I would say that it's something that I'm improving on. But this past season, I was used a lot as a receiver in the receiving game. You know, we had a lot of injuries in that area, and I was asked to make more plays in the receiving game than I was in the run game, obviously, because we were lacking depth at certain positions. And I think Coach Brohm did a good job of spreading me out, but also keeping me in line and using me as an inline tight end. We had also, you know, a younger freshman who's a bit bigger. He was a bit heavier, so he did a good job. His name's Payne Durham. He did a great job this year of just holding his own and making plays when his name was called. But other than that, you know, I think just me working and realizing that, you know, it's just gonna get more difficult from there. I've gotta improve that. I've gotta work harder. That's definitely something that I've taken to heart, and I'm on my way to improving right now.
Well, as someone who's played tight end and there's been an offensive line, you've told me all of the words that I wanted to hear there in terms of your fundamentals and technique. And that's one of the things that I did see at the Senior Bowl in your week, was an improvement in technique, in sort of not only keeping your pad level nice and low, but rolling your hips. But then importantly, absolutely critically, is keeping your feet chopping, keeping your feet going with you. And that's what a couple of times in the actual game, yeah, maybe there wasn't as much passing going on because there were some issues with the offensive line holding up. But what I did see from you was in a couple of times when there were sweeps to the outside, you were getting position, you drove the one guy and put him on his back in the middle of the field, yeah. And you were sort of straight over the top of him. So for me, that was encouraging to actually see that in that week that you were able to take the NFL coaching and translate that to the field. The Chicago Bears, obviously we're a Chicago Bears based podcast and radio network. The Bears run 11 personnel over 60% of both run and pass plays, regardless of the position on the field. How do you feel that your game relates to that, and whether you're the inline tight end or whether you're moved elsewhere as like a receiver or a, you know, a H-back or even into the fullback position?
You know, like you said, I was moved around a lot, but it's just going to go however they see fit. You know, I'm going to do whatever they ask. So whether they need someone to step up in the receiving game and make plays down the seam, or, you know, I would say that my route tree is a little bit more expansive than just the seam, so that I can make plays all over the field. But if they ask me to come down and maybe be offline and run backside zone and cut somebody off, or just stick my head in there and hit somebody, or whether it's running on the front side zone and reaching somebody and driving them off the line of scrimmage, I'm just going to do whatever I can in order to help my offense. That's all I want to see. I want to create gaps for my running backs, and I also want to be able to deceive the defense. You know, I don't want to just be that flex tight end that, like, okay, he's in the game, he's going to be flexed out now, we know what covers to run just to strap him up. I want to be able to be down and in line, put my hand in the dirt, and whether it's blocking or I'm releasing on a route, I just don't want them to know so that I have the upper hand in that area.
Bryson, you're doing absolutely nothing to waver my man crush of your take with these answers. You're absolutely acing this as far as I'm concerned. I want to just go through some of the coaches at the Chicago Bears and some of the names that they've been associated with at your position and just see how that sounds in terms of a team fit to you. So Coach Nagy, the head coach, has had Travis Kelce. Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, has had Tyler Eifert. And our tight ends coach, Clancy Barone, has coached Algie Crumpler, Antonio Gates, Julius Thomas, and Carl Rudolph. That's a pretty significant list. Yeah. There's some pretty good lists there. How does it feel? And, you know, which of those inspires you the most out of those names, knowing what you know about their game and sort of what they've done in the NFL? And how does it sound to you to potentially join that list?
You know, I was a big fan of Antonio Gates. So, you know, I didn't start playing football very young, but I watched it. You know, my dad played in the league, so I was a big fan of his game. And also Carl Rudolph. I think he's more of a complete player. When it comes to the blocking and receiving aspect, both very good players. So, you know, when you hear legend status, names like that, and then realize that I have the opportunity to be coached by the same people. And, you know, I assume that they didn't all come in on that status. You know, they had to work to get to where they were. So I'm more than willing to take that criticism and coaching if it means that I'm just going to become a better player. You know, I would love to see that upside become even more.
Well, I mean, again, the answers are superb. I mean, one of the things that we talk about, yeah, so we talked about Kittle a little bit, and then in terms of how you want to improve your blocking to be sort of similar to that kind of level, because to me, he's one of actually the elite blocking tight ends, certainly given his size pound for pound. At San Francisco this year, en route to the Super Bowl performance, they had a game where the ball was only thrown 10 times, yet Kittle had a major impact in the game. Is that something that, are you going to be there sort of, kind of still chomping at the bit, yeah, get me out on a play action, get the ball to me, get the ball in my hands, or are you going to be satisfied? And it sounds to me like, maybe I'm preempting, that you will be willing just to stick your nose in there and put people on their backs and contribute to the team that way. What will you do if you're asked to block all game?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the position. You know, tight end, it's not a one-job thing. You have to do everything everywhere at any time. So, just being a tight end, you have to realize that there are going to be teams that it's going to be much easier to run the ball on them than it is to throw the ball. You know, I would certainly hope that an offense would realize my skill set and maybe design plays that I could get open on or create separation on these linebackers and safeties and just help make plays down the seams. You know, if I can get to this spot and have a 25-yard pass real quick, it's going to get us down the field maybe a little bit quicker than on these repeated zone plays or power runs. But I would just say that I realize the position that I'm in, and if I'm not going to get a single reception in a game, which I have in the past, I've just been blocking the whole time, just trying to help my team out, I'm definitely going to do that. You know, it's part of the game. It's football. You can't be selfish in that area. You are a team. I'm not looking to pad my stats. I'm just looking to win. You know, at the end of the day, that's where the satisfaction comes from.
Well, I've got some great news for you, Bryson. If you are drafted by the Bears, is Coach Nagy in one of the games this year only had 8 run attempts in the entire game. So more than likely, you're actually going to be running 50 routes. So I hope your conditioning is good and you're able to run those. Because just while you're on, what I would like to do, and I'd like to have your evaluation and my evaluation of you, is when I see your tape, some of the things that I like is when you're in the Y, I see very little wasted footwork from the line. You get a good get-off when you're in line. When you're in the slot, you're sudden enough and you have enough route running savvy to give kind of two looks depending upon the cornerback's leverage on you or the safety's leverage on you before you actually declare at your stem, which I like because you're actually setting guys up to fail. The only time I actually saw at the Senior Bowl that you had one rep where it wasn't kind of what was you, it was one of the Michigan linebackers, and you were running a sort of a 5-yard out, just a quick stem, and he stayed on the inside. He had inside leverage and he kind of bracketed you. Now, given the fact that in the NFL that's going to be called a hold, he got away with that rep. He got away with that rep for me. But that's kind of my evaluation of you. I particularly like that at your stem, again, no wasted footwork. You're in and out of your breaks very, very quickly. You set those breaks up really well, depending upon the leverage that you're seeing, and you clearly understand the coverages in zones. It's something that kind of comes across to me is that maybe you're a bit of a tape rat. You like being in there sort of watching the tape, seeing what particular defenders do in certain situations, how they like to run coverages. Is that something that is also important to you, being sort of a tape study?
Yes, most definitely. That's majority of the game right there is preparation, going into the game, knowing what you're going to get. And, you know, you can't know what you're going to get, but when you have a pretty good idea of how this player is going to try and defend you, you have the advantage. And, of course, you got to remember that hopefully not, but, you know, good players, they're going to be in the film room as well studying you. So you have to prepare for that and know what type of leverage they like to play or how their footwork is, whether they like to press or get their hands on you or play off. So it just depends on what you see on film, but that is definitely a huge part of the game. And going into the game, knowing what someone is going to do and how they're going to play you just gives you a whole bunch of confidence. And a big part of my game is confidence. If I'm confident in myself and the way that I'm playing, you know, I don't think anyone can stop me. And it's just the mentality that I have, and I think it's important. But definitely film study is majority of preparation in the game. You know,
As long as you know what you can do and you're not worried about what the defender is going to do because you're not uncertain and you have a pretty good idea, it just gives you the advantage.
That's great. I've just got a couple more questions and then we'll hand it over to the chat room, see if there's some questions from those guys in there. How is your training going? What kind of numbers do you expect to put up in, like the 40, the three cone, the short shuttle, the broad, and the vert?
You know, I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that my numbers are looking pretty good right now. You know, we've been doing some comparisons as far as the last 4 years for the tight ends, and in majority of the drills, I'm in the top three, top two area of performers. So, you know, I will say in my 40s, I'm looking to run that mid 4.6s, low 4.6s range, and I think that would be pretty good. If I could get even better, hey, and surprise people, then I think that would up my draft stock very much and help me out. But, you know, 40s weighed in pretty heavily at the combine, but all those other drills also come into play and show what type of an athlete you are and how well you prepared for the event. And also, you know, the training that comes in. You know, I'm down here at Boost Performance in Nashville. Jordan Lou Allen is doing a great job of getting me ready. And I just feel confident in myself and my numbers. And, you know, I've still got a couple weeks to go, a little less than a couple weeks, and I'm going to get as much work in as I can there. But, you know, I'm confident in my 40. I'm confident in my three cone, confident in my shuttle, the broad jump, my vertical. You know, a lot of people, I did see on Twitter that someone said I was going to jump a 40-inch vertical. And, you know, I did just recently jump a 37.5. You know, maybe I could get that 40. But if I did, I would be very proud of myself. So, you know, I don't want to give everyone too high hopes. But, you know, I think if I could get that 39 or 38 area, that'd still be sufficient. So my numbers are looking good, and I'm confident in myself.
Well, that's still about 3 feet higher than Aldo can jump, Bryson. So no matter how you do, I think you're going to be doing okay. What I would like to say to you is that, you know, in all of these drills that you're going to be doing at the combine, I'm sure that everyone that's been listening into this interview so far is going to be screaming and cheering at the TV for you to do the absolute best you can. So no matter what happens, no matter how the cards lie, know that the bar room is behind you. And when the bar room gets behind people, what we also like to do is get behind any particular causes that the player might be interested in, so that the social work that they do in the community, that we help them to help the community. So is there anything that you know that you would like to get involved in potentially, or is it going to be a case that you're going to arrive at the city that you arrive at and then you're going to take a look at where maybe you can contribute best? Please tell us a little bit about that if you can.
Yeah, of course. You know, a big thing that I've been involved in the past is just youth education. And, you know, it's not the biggest area or of the most importance, but I truly do at heart believe that the youth education is our future. And I can just remember when I was back in school and would have people visit, and the way that I would just look at them as they walked through the hallways was incredible. And, yeah, it just inspired me to be someone. And not necessarily a football player, just inspired me to grow up and actually make it and have success and come back to and be that person, you know, that kids look up to. And, you know, I've had plenty of opportunity. Actually, at the bowl game, we went down and did some community service at one of the elementary schools, and just walking through the hallways and giving all those kids high fives and just laughing and screaming and yelling your name and all that, it just brings tremendous joy, and as much as I can do to help in that system, in that area, I will. And, you know, it's a huge job for the teachers, and any way that I can help and just be there. And I don't have to teach anyone necessarily. Not math or social studies, but, you know, I can teach them a little bit about life and how I've gotten to the place that I am. So just helping the youth and helping them learn about what they need to do in order to have success and keep their priorities straight. I think I would love to be involved in that.
That sounds absolutely fantastic, because one of the things that I think most kids need at school, that certainly athletes and people that are respected role models can do, is to give self-belief. So for that child, that individual, that young person that's exactly maturing into an adult, having someone who shows that you can do it, and no matter what the adversity, you know, if you stick at it and if you do your best, then you're going to achieve certainly more than if you don't try. And seeing someone who's able to sort of give back in that way is a fantastic cause. And, you know, I wish you every success in that. And I would love for you to stay in touch with the bar room, obviously, when you get to whichever city it is, so long as it's not Green Bay. I'm afraid if it's Green Bay, there will be hate and there will be shade, and we will scream against you on a Sunday. But on a Monday and a Tuesday, don't worry, we're still gonna look back on this and look fun. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, Bryce, and I hope you've enjoyed it the same. And with that, I'd like to give over to the chat room and let some of the guys there and ladies ask some questions.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bryson.
Bryson, I got to tell you that the man crush for you is growing exponentially here, as people in the chat room are just super impressed, not only with your play during the 2019 season with Purdue, but also with your words here. And one of the questions we got is from Greg Braggs, who is a huge Boilermaker fan, and he wanted to know...
Okay, Boiler up.
There you go. He wanted to know about Tyler Trent and how he may have inspired you. And for those who don't know, Tyler left us. He fought a rare form of bone cancer, and he left us a little over a year ago. And so wanted to know how he may have inspired you and what how he may have touched your life.
Yes, you know, that it's an emotional topic, of course. I think everyone on my team who was able to experience his love and joy for the game and for the Boilermakers would agree with me. You look at the position that he was in and the hope that he had for himself and for everyone as a Boilermaker Nation, you realize that nothing can be taken for granted, and you never know when your last day on this earth is going to be. So find the joy in everything that you can. And when he was able to go out on that field and sit in the student section, and especially, you know, the Ohio State game in 2017 when we just whooped them around, I'll credit it to him. He gave us that energy and inspiration that we needed to realize that we are in this moment for a reason, and you know, the love and joy that he was able to express in the position that he was, as sick as he was, and his smile just on his face, it makes you think you can't take anything for granted, and you've got to find the positivity and absolutely as much as you can in order to just live. And I think he did a great job of just inspiring us as a team. And, you know, that's really all I have to say about it. But, you know, I credit a lot of the success that season to him. And what he meant to the team. So,
excellent.
It's not the distance run; it's the journey.
There you go.
Exactly.
Another question for you is: in preparing for the combine, we know that you go, you know, you prepare for the run and all these other athletic skills. But do you also prepare for the interviews? These 15 minutes that coaches and general managers really prize a lot when they get to meet players. Do you, you know, have a so-called elevator speech? Do you have
Aldo? He's absolutely aced this 30 minutes. What do you think, man?
he has, but I just wonder if he's prepared for it. Is that a conscious choice to kind of prepare for those interviews?
You know, I think a lot of people going in to the interviews might be a little bit nervous, so they feel that they need that preparation. But I'll be honest, I had one scout with the Titans who helped me out just for like 20, 25 minutes. He just told me what kind of questions were going to be asked, you know, because I don't want to go in there blindly, but all the coaches want to, they've heard things about you and they want to hear it for themselves. So, you know, they actually know most of the answers. They just want to see how you are going to answer them and whether you're telling the truth. So I didn't actually prepare that much for any of the interviews. I just went in there and I treated it more as a conversation. And I spoke with them. I told them what they wanted to know. You know, we joked around a little bit. I was just kind of being myself. I'm a real social person. I love talking to people, you know, as much whenever I can, you know, whenever it's not business. But, you know, I love talking to people. And I think that I was just trying to go in there and make some friends. You know, that's all it was for me. But as far as preparation goes, you can have these robot responses, you know, that you've already practice in the mirror at home, but that's only going to get you so far. You know, right. The coaches, they want to see personality and they want to see just how you respond to their questions with yourself, not what you've practiced. So.
Three more questions for you, and I'll morph a few of the questions that I got here from Nikki and Heart 4803 in the chat room. Basically, they want to know, you know, how, what are the things that you're most working on to improve right now? What are the biggest challenges to adjusting to the speed of the NFL game?
That is a great question, Nikki. I would say, as far as my game, personally, I would love to improve my blocking. You know, I'm not saying that I'm at a disadvantage here, but, you know, you look at some of the tight ends in the NFL and the success they've had being that dual threat tight end who can block and put linemen on their butt and drive them off the line of scrimmage while also being flexed out as a receiver and making huge plays down the seam. That's where they make their money, and that's how they're these legend tight ends, because they're able to do that and they're willing. You know, part of the thing is just being a willing blocker, realizing that if you are willing to stick your head in there, that's half the battle right there. So you can't be hesitant in any area. But for me, I would say just working on my blocking. You know, I was fortunate enough to be blessed by God and my father to have this athleticism that I have. So when you have that athleticism, it all comes with mental preparation too. So you have the talent, now you need to just put in the work. So that's what I'm here to do.
Sounds like mom's done a good job as well.
Yes, of course. Yeah, with the no, mom takes. She gave me a little bit of the athleticism, but you know, mom helped me out with every other area, I would say. So I give her just as much credit.
Absolutely. All right. Mm-hmm. Another question for you regarding the Senior Bowl. And actually, you got it. You spoke with our Bears Barroom draft analyst down there, Danny Shimon, who has you ranked as the number one tight end coming out in this class. And
I like to hear.
He and I both want to know, you know, what number one thing you perhaps learned down at the Senior Bowl, perhaps something that you were taught by a coach or a fellow player or something that you walked away with and said, man, I didn't know that, or man, I can incorporate this better into my game. Anything like that at the Senior Bowl that you walked away with feeling good that you can incorporate?
Yeah, first and foremost, I would say the business-like attitude. You know, you realize that you have nothing else to focus on but this football. You know, you might have family distractions, and I wouldn't say it's distractions, but it's just something other than football to keep your mind on. But, you know, when I'm going down there just by myself and being able to focus on football, you got to look at it as a business standpoint. There are other people trying to take their job. You're trying to take food off of another grown man's plate, and, you know, he's not going to let that happen without a fight, so. You got to be willing to go out there and showcase your skill set, not be afraid of what's to come, and be confident in yourself. I would say that. And also the complexity of the playbook. I'm not saying it was difficult for me to necessarily understand because I had such a great coaching system and playbook, play caller in my college career. But, you know, it's just it's a lot more precise, and there's a lot more detail, and you have to be here at this specific moment and have this leverage on this person in order to make this play work, because, you know, there are 11 offensive players on this team trying to do the same thing in order to make the play work. So I would say just details and a business-like attitude, knowing that this is a job now and not just something you're getting a little money for in order to get your education. So.
And our last question comes from Joe O'Donnell. He wants to know, did you grow up cheering for a NFL team? And if so, who was it? And I'll add on to that question, have you followed the Chicago Bears recently? And what's your kind of assessment of that franchise?
Yeah, you know, first I'll say that I did grow up obviously cheering for the Titans. That's when I actually started cheering, of course. You know, I would say I cheered for the Oilers, but I was about 3 or 4 when that franchise became the Titans. So my dad actually played left tackle, for the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Oilers for 13 years. So still to this day, I'm a Titans fan, of course, by default. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. And I actually have been a Chicago Bears fan and kept up with their game because me being kind of close to Purdue and in that region, you know, it's very popular up there. And I am familiar with what's going on up there. And you know, I've asked questions on scouts and how I can contribute to the game and what I can do to help the offense see success. So I'm familiar with the tight ends and the quarterbacks and the offense, and, you know, not too much about their defense, but I'm sure it's a group of great guys. But I would love to get more familiar with the Chicago Bears, if you know what I'm saying.
Indeed. Take it away, George.
I think you have a few thousand in front, including me at the front of the line there, Bryson, in echoing that. We got Greg Braggs asking about the basketball game tonight. They're playing Penn State, apparently. So it's going to be interesting. He's quite good friends with Sasha Stefanovic, but he wants to know if you've got anything to say about the game tonight. Are they going to beat Penn State, and could you play power forward?
Oh, man, you know, I'll address that last question first. You know, it takes a different type of athlete to play Division I basketball in college, and I'll get out there and I'll do my best. You know, I was a hooper at heart in high school, but I realized that my talents are better translated on the field. So, you know, I'm not gonna blow my head up or anything and say that I could have success, but I'll go out there and I'll be physical and I'll get rebounds and, you know, I'll do whatever's asked. But, you know, it takes definitely a different type of athlete to do that. And I'm sorry, I actually forgot what the second question or the first question was. I answered the second question before.
Are they gonna beat Penn State tonight?
Oh yeah. Can I ask if it is at home or away?
I believe it's a home game.
That Mackey Arena is something different. If you've never had the opportunity to experience that energy in there, it is probably one of the hardest arenas in the Big Ten to play in, and I would hate to be the opposing team. That energy in there is just incredible, and I have complete faith in my Boilermakers to go out there and get that dub. So I would say, you know, Penn State, great opponent, but Purdue, we're going to pull it out.
Excellent.
Thanks, Bryson. Thanks so much for your time today and for coming on. You've absolutely aced the interview as far as I'm concerned. And your tape speaks for itself. So all that's left to say now is I just wish you the greatest success, not only at the Combine, but for whichever franchise you go on to play for, because I've no doubt you're going to hear your name called quite early in this draft. And I just wish you every success with that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate y'all having me. It was a great opportunity.
Good luck, Bryson.
Thanks, y'all too.
Thanks, bye.
Good stuff there, Mr. Bellissimo.
Aldo. The man crush is strong.
Not only were your questions great, but also your pursuit of Bryson Hopkins to get him on your show was admirable. You are a dogged producer, so congratulations to that. As well. So any wrap-up thoughts on Bryson before we move on with the rest of the show?
Yeah, I mean, he's number one on my board, quite clearly. We're going to come on to that. But, I mean, what I've loved about this so far with Reggie Walker last week and with Bryson this week and who knows who in the future that's going to come along is that I'm really enjoying being able to question these guys for the sort of stuff that we won't be able to see and necessarily hear in this lead-up process to the draft. And I don't know about the people that are listening in the chat room, but and those that are listening on the podcast later, and it'd be lovely to get comments from you. But I think it's just a great opportunity for these players that are going into the draft to be able to show themselves as a person. And both Reggie and Bryson today, I've got to say, in my opinion, have both completely aced it. So I'm looking forward to speaking to more collegiate athletes in the future. So if you want to get in touch, DM me at Bellissimo1, and I'm quite happy to discuss having you on and having chats like this, because I think that this is one of the most valuable things that we as a network can do to assist you as players there in the process of getting people to understand you. We can all look at tape. We can all decide what we see from that tape, and obviously people's understanding of the game and analysis varies, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But hopefully it's been informative, it's been useful, it's been entertaining, because I've absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Totally agree with you 100%. All right, let's move on now. And the entire show will be dedicated to the tight end position. We know that it was a huge issue for the Chicago Bears. And maybe we should start there, George. Let me ask you, how much that it affect Mitchell Trubisky's work at the quarterback position in 2019, given that there really wasn't a reliable tight end, and that's no knock on anyone who played the position. It's just, you know, they weren't there long enough for a training camp. They were injured. There was just all these issues going on. How much did that hurt Mitchell Trubisky, and how much did it impact Matt Nagy's offense?
it's huge. I mean, as we discussed in that interview there, 62% of plays for the Chicago Bears in any formation, in any down and distance, and in any type of run or pass play, 62% of them are in 11 personnel, meaning a tight end is an extension of the offensive line. This year, one of the things that always goes out there with whatever conversation there is to be had about Mitch Trubisky, whether he is, whether he isn't, or whether we don't know, which is my view, is that the kid has the talent to be able to do it if he has the right environment in front of him. And in the first year of the Nagy system, obviously everyone is on the new playbook, everyone is learning together, but we had a cohesive line and we had fairly good health at the position on offense and defense. We had fairly good health. Year two, obviously we've got people understanding the playbook more, but we had 12 variations on the offensive line. We had six different tight ends at some point of the season play. That cannot possibly help someone who is second year in the system, and it can't possibly help the offense and the offensive line, because when you've got a tight end outside you need to know whether you can hand it off or whether you need to stay a little bit longer, whether they're going to be able to get pushed inside, whether they're going to get their head the right side. You need to literally know, without thinking, without having to process, how they're going to react in the moment and what you're going to get from them. Because without that, you can't possibly adjust to what it is that you need to do and you need to do to help the offense. So, yeah, absolutely. The tight end position and the lack of health that we had there was absolutely critical to the performance of the offense as a whole, given how important it is to the Nagy system, that sort of spread variant West Coast offense system. It's absolutely critical. We see a lot of teams playing a lot of zone coverage. Tight ends are absolutely critical for that in terms of sitting over and stressing the linebackers. They're that sort of conduit that sits between the deep safety and the back of the linebackers. Linebackers have to have a running back in front of them more often than not, or a slot receiver running a drag. Tight end normally sits in that hole in the zones if they're running zone, or will run a route to combat man to get the most out of the route. So absolutely it is critical, and it's been terrible, really, the investment that we've had there, the in terms of not only the Trey Burton contract but the experiment with Bradley Sowell and the amount of energy that's been spent on trying to get him ready as a tight end. And the guys who really have been the best performers for the Bears at tight end have all been undrafted free agent guys that we've picked up from one team or another. So yeah, it is absolutely critical to the Bears offense, and we haven't had the best of it. And I think this year hopefully we get some solidity and some health at the position and on the offensive line as a whole, because then we truly can evaluate Mitch Trubisky. Sorry, that was a bit of a long-winded answer.
Well, and a very incisive one, I might add. Let's take a look at the current situation at the position. Who is on the roster? J.P. Holtz is on as he's a free agent, actually, but the Bears have exclusive rights on him. Bradley Sowell now is a free agent, and it's in all likelihood we can say that he probably
he's
will
gone.
Not.
Yeah, yes. He's gone.
Trey Burton is under contract. Ben Broniker, Jesper Horsted, Dax Raymond, and they recently signed a 6'7" guy named Darian Clark, who is transitioning from basketball to football. I look at these guys and I see potential. Clearly we know what Trey Burton is capable of doing. Unfortunately, he's been so injury prone, so it's a reliability question with him. But I also look at some of these guys. Do you think that anyone like a Jesper Horsted or a Dax Raymond can make that jump to the next level of playing, that he can become a more reliable player for the Chicago Bears?
So Jesper Horsted, so I mean, in terms of what we've got at position, J.P. Holtz for me is as much a move tight end stroke fullback as he is a tight end. He's not really an inline tight end, and obviously when they kept running him on that motion across the formation as a one block, that didn't work very well for us. Trey Burton, when fit and healthy, is a great receiving tight end, a real threat to go deep and to stress the defense that way. Ben Broniker, more of a special teamer, but he's shown the ability to, and enough athletic ability to be able to get deep, but he's not really sort of a wow at the position. Mm-hmm. Jesper Horsted was a wide receiver, converted to tight end, so he's still very new at the position, and so is Darian Clark going to be, but both offer very good athleticism at the position. And Jesper Horsted showed a little bit of chops in terms of blocking last year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how both of those guys are able to sort of translate from the sports they've been playing and the positions they've been playing and sort of get that blocking down in terms of, you know, the body position, the strength that you need, the amount of knocks that you take with your hands, yet you're still expected to catch the ball, those sort of side of things. Dax Raymond, I was a little bit disappointed with him last year. I wonder whether, because he's an older player coming out of college, whether he might be maxed out at where he is and be sort of a practice squad kind of guy. I would love for him to prove us wrong, but at the moment, from what I've seen from last year, I'm beginning to wonder whether he's sort of maxed out his athletic abilities and talents, and whether he's going to actually be able to be a full-time NFL player, because at the moment that's not looking like a likelihood for me. So in terms of the guys that we've got, the ones that I realistically see coming back is Holtz as that full-back stripe, move tight end, Trey Burton the move tight end, Broniker special teamer and tight end. So there is an opportunity for someone there to push Trey Burton as a starter, you know, whether that be through free agency or the draft, or potentially, as I feel, there will be some competition. Both, I think there will be potentially at least one free agent that might be a higher end free agent that might come in at the position. But I also believe they're going to look at that in the draft, because I think there are some good ones and it's a fairly deep class that we'll come on to.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to give up on Dax Raymond. I saw him at last year's Senior Bowl, and he had an excellent week of practice. Got to talk to him, a really bright guy. Spent 2 years in Russia on a Mormon missionary, and so I think that, you know, slowed down his development, and is why also he comes into the league at mid-20s, I should say. And so I'm not totally ready to give up on him. I just think the adjustment to the NFL was a little trickier for him. He did not have a good camp, but clearly the Bears saw something in him at Bourbonnais to put him on the practice squad. So we'll hopefully see a big leap on him, and I'm absolutely certain that Jesper Horsted is going to progress. How much he's going to progress, as Heart48 or 3 says in the chat room, we don't have a reliable tight end, and maybe Horsted is not going to be that reliable tight end, but he certainly does have the capabilities of potentially being there, let's put it that way. All right,
Aldo, you haven't even picked me up that I haven't mentioned Adam Shaheen. And that to me shows how much of a miss he is.
That's right, he's still on the contract.
He's still on contract, but I mean, he's very much on the bubble for me. I was doing that as a little bit of a test. I'm sorry for giving you a bit of a jab there, Aldo, but no. I was doing that as a little bit of a test because he was so forgettable. And that was the thing for me. I'm sorry to jab you live on air there.
No, but, please do. You know, he's got a salary, I think, for this upcoming year is $1.47 million. So I've been looking at his name, but
he's a viable cut. He is a viable cut.
He truly is, and it's a shame.
I think realistically we need to.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I had high hopes. I had heard about him prior to the draft, and knew, you know, that he had this kind of baby Gronk reputation before he was drafted. And I was kind of thinking he might be a good third or fourth round pick for Ryan Pace. And here, lo and behold, he picks him in the second round. I was like, oh man. That sounds like a little bit of a reach, but it's proven to be quite the reach. And unfortunately, the results have not been there. But hopefully, who knows? Maybe he'll turn around if he is indeed invited to camp. We will keep an eye on that. Now, I wanted to ask you if you could provide for us your collegiate rankings of the top tight ends coming out. So let's say if Bryson Hopkins is gone in the first round, and you know, if he has a great combine, he could definitely be a first round draft pick. So who after that do you have on your list of tight ends to look at? Give us your countdown here.
Well, there are rumblings potentially that a team like the Patriots might be looking at Bryson Hopkins in the first round. So there is a strong possibility he may be gone ahead of where we can take him. But, you know, praying to God that he is there, because he's the number one by quite some list, some way. What I have in terms of the guys that I've evaluated so far on this list, I'd just like to sort of codify, is I've got guys that are called green, the green range, which is the first 2 to 3 rounds. So you take them in, you know, day one or early day two. So first round, second round, potentially at the top, if you're at the top end of the draft, into the third. That's when the green range, the sort of the amber range, is guys that you would take between round 3 to round, let's say, 5 or 6. And then you have guys that really are in requiring development but have some athletic upside, which is who I have as a blue coding. So it's not necessarily, it depends upon your flavor of tight end as to which one of these guys moves up or down those rankings. But the guys I have in the green range, and by far and away at the top of that, is Bryson Hopkins. He is a legitimate one for me. If you're after a receiving tight end who really stresses the defense in terms of as a catching threat, you've got to look at Hunter Bryant from Washington, sort of 6'2", 230, 240 pounds. He's likely to have the T-shirt competition with the Seahawks coach again this year. He seems to like getting prospects to take their T-shirts off and show their rip bods. Hunter Bryant definitely has that, but he's a guy that legitimately has great body control, really good hands, and he's quick for a tight end. So if that's your flavour, he's more of a position blocker in the run game, so whether he could play that 11 tight end for us, it would be debatable. He has had some injury issues as well at Washington. So the next name might sort of ring some bells for some people. His surname is Moss Thaddeus, tight end from LSU. Obviously, lineage, great coaching there at LSU. He is quite actually an impressive blocker. He's more of a traditional wide tight end for me, but he does show some ability to get out on routes. Doesn't necessarily have the route running flair and nuance and skill that Bryson Hopkins has, but he's able to run, you know, fairly sharp routes. Not as quick as a Bryson Hopkins, not as quick as a Hunter Bryant, but he does what you want a tight end to do, which is he blocks. He runs decent routes, he gets open and he catches the ball, and he's big enough to be able to catch the ball through contact, which as a tight end is an important skill. Then you've got Harrison Bryant and Cole Kmet, which is sort of a very much on a level for me. Harrison Bryant has moved himself up to that level. A lot of people very high on Cole Kmet have him second on their board. Mm-hmm. And he's an all-run tight end, and he has shown some ability, but there's no single trait where I look at it and I think, wow, he's above these other guys. Whereas the other guys that I've mentioned, they all have something that they do better than the other tight ends at that position. So Cole Kmet is more of an all-rounder, as is Harrison Bryant, which is why I've sort of put those two together in the bottom end of that green zone. So definitely you'd be looking at taking those, any of those really, mm-hmm. rounds one or two type value, maybe going into the start of round three for me. The next round, which is sort of that amber range, there's a couple of names on here. In fact, there's one name probably which is going to surprise a lot of people, but I have him in this range in terms of he's got enough athletic ability, he shows enough as a blocker to be able to develop and become an even better NFL player on a Sunday than maybe he was collegian. So we've got Adam Trautman, who's moved himself up for me. He was someone that hadn't seen a lot of tape on, but the senior bowl impressed the hell out of me. What I would like to see is more polish on his routes. So the, you know, understanding leverage and maybe setting, this is possibly things that he wasn't necessarily coached in college, but being able to sort of have a little bit more savvy and nuance to his routes, being able to set up with two, you know, one or two moves before he gets to the stem to get the defender out of position so he can then use his speed, which he has, in being able to break open. He showed me quite a lot as a pass blocker, mm-hmm. And as a run blocker at the senior bowl, so I was quite impressed with that. So he's a guy that is sort of in that sort of round three, probably round three range. Albert Okwegunam, from Missouri. I won't ask you to say his name to Aldo.
Please don't.
Okwegunam. So that's how I believe you say his surname. He's tight end out of Missouri. A very good athlete. Struggled with some of the production, but I think Missouri as a whole struggled as a program largely. But he can be a receiving threat. He can block. You can split him out wide. You can put him in the backfield. You can line him up at wide tight end. And he's able to do all of those things. A guy who has a bit more in terms of blocking, but a bit less of the athleticism, but is still a very good receiver, and a guy who can catch, it seems, with people hanging off his back, is Jared Pinkney from out of Vanderbilt. So he's in that range. And then the last name, which might surprise some people, is a guy called Joey Magnifico. He's at Memphis. And he's a guy that's sort of slightly undersized in terms of the height that people would like and the arm length that people would like. But what he has is tenacity. Mm-hmm. And I like him, whether he's in the sort of the backfield, whether he's lined up as a tight end in line at the Y, or whether he's split out in the slot. He's possibly a player that's going to struggle if you put him out at the boundary. But you could run him out of the slot, you could run him out of the backfield, and you could run him up from the line. He's someone who gives max effort. He's a linebacker in high school, but he played tight end in college. You see a lot of the linebacker in him in terms of the way he likes to hit people and put not only hit them, but also, you know, knock them on the back. So that's a guy that I like. And then in the guys that are sort of more developmental, but later round, possibly, you know, priority free agent kind of range. So round 6-7 stroke priority free agent. Mm-hmm. Got Colby Parkinson out of Stanford. Very tall, Not great blocker, because I think he needs possibly a little bit more work in the weight room for that, given his height. He needs to play with a little bit lower pad level. But he's a very solid receiver, and actually quite surprisingly quick, given that he doesn't look like he's running fast. But at 6'7", you kind of have that with that stride length. Josiah DeGuara, who one of the analysts that I saw on Twitter today that I retweeted earlier, said he was one of the best pass routes runner. He's a very good runner of routes. And there was a couple of guys like Eli that we mentioned out of the East-West Shrine Bowl. The guys that I've mentioned on the previous episodes of Bayerlissimo would all be in that kind of range, the ones that we mentioned at the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine game. So Josiah DeGuara is one of those names, and there are a couple of others, the guy out of Georgia that I mentioned. And lastly is Mitchell Wilcox out of USF. Again, a plus athlete, but lacks a lot of the nuance and refinement that you would want to see out of an NFL tight end. So those are the guys I've got listed for you.
One name that I'm not seeing on your list here, you did not mention, and I'm wondering why, is the kid out of Louisiana State. He was down at the Senior Bowl. Steven Sullivan played wide receiver, a lot of wide receiver, mostly wide receiver, I think, in college, and was moved to the tight end position. Any thoughts on him, or is he still somebody you need to scout?
He's still someone I really need to look at, but I have seen him when I was sort of looking at Thaddeus Moss. But again, if you're looking at the amount of draft picks that the Bears have, it's more of a project.
Yes.
So for me, that would be a name that you would look at as you wouldn't necessarily spend a pick on him, but if he's there at the end of the draft, certainly enough upside for you to be able to say, okay, well, he's definitely worth getting in. Let's try and get him in and see if he can push for a position and give him that opportunity. But again, I haven't seen too much of him as an individual. Which possibly means that, he hasn't shown up that much to me when I've been looking. I've seen Thaddeus Moss more. Well, he stood out a lot more.
And I totally agree with your assessment on Sullivan. And when we were down at the Senior Bowl, we asked him, what is it that you need to work on? He was forthright and said, definitely blocking. That's something I haven't done from that tight end position. It's something I'm learning to do. So he is certainly a developmental player, but he's got some physical assets to him that could make him a very intriguing late round or undrafted free agent selection for the Bears. All right, in the last few minutes that we have here, George, I'd love for you to go over your list of free agent tight ends, because that's an avenue that the Bears can address this need at tight end. If they've got their eyes on some other players in the draft and want to instead address the need at tight end via free agency, who do you think they should target, high, middle, low?
Yeah, that's kind of how I've split these guys up, is guys you would target on day one and make offers to, guys you would look and see if there's no offers early on that you would then look at seeing if you can get a bit of a bargain. And then there's guys that you would say, okay, they've shown enough in the NFL to have some upside, but they're not going to be guys that are the priority in terms of cap space and what we're looking at. So in that top echelon, and probably number one on the list, is Austin Hooper, the tight end out of the Falcons, scored a monstrously long touchdown against the Bears. And he's a guy that is able to show a lot in terms of blocking and as a receiving threat as well. Again, sophisticated route runner for the position. Hunter Henry, there is some concern over the historic injuries, although last year was probably his best in terms of staying healthy and staying on the field. So hopefully whatever it was that ailed him earlier on in his career, he now has sorted. Dan Patton is managing, and he stays on the field going into the future. But there is, some risk associated with the past history issues. Mm. And then Eric Ebron, who no one else seems to like, but obviously he's got the familiarity with Mitch Trubisky coming from the same program, shows a lot as a receiving tight end, has some ability to pass and run block. Isn't necessarily known for that, though, necessarily, but is a guy that, is going to give you a lot more than we have had at the position in terms of as a receiving threat downfield. Again, subject to how that fits in with the locker room and what the coaches make of him. I don't know too much about him, but he seems all right whenever I've encountered any interviews that he's been involved in. And then in the middle zone, you're looking at people like Tyler Eifert. Again, the question marks over injuries, but the familiarity with Bill Lazor. Charles Clay out of Arizona, a little bit older, but you know, last year he averaged, I think it was 13 point something yards per catch, so still shows the ability to get downfield, and he's a solid blocker. And you've got Blake Bell, obviously Super Bowl champion with the Chiefs, who showed some ability in sort of spot service and being on the field with Travis Kelce. Guys that show a little bit of upside, lesser names, Logan Thomas, who was a quarterback. He was at Detroit last year. He was a guy that went unsigned through most of free agency, and I think that's probably going to be the case this year as well. It'd be a guy that you would pick up to fill out the roster and give him an opportunity to compete. But the fact that he's a quarterback and he has a really good arm gives a little bit of upside for the Bears if they want to bring him in and, you know, let Nagy do Nagy stuff and scheme stuff for him to be able to do. I mean, if Trey Burton doesn't want to throw those passes, I'm sure Logan Thomas would.
There you go.
Clive Wolford, tight end out of Miami. Again, more of a downfield threat than he is an inline blocker, but shows some ability in terms of inline blocking. He's pretty good against zone concepts, zone coverages. Mm-hmm. So that's a guy that I'd like to sort of you know, test the tires on. And depending upon who we get as backup quarterback, if it's Mariota, you've got to look at obviously former Bear Michael Pruitt, who was discarded from the Bears, but he showed some ability at the Titans, particularly early on in the year when he was working with the Mariota, and the familiarity obviously would help, and it would be someone that we could get in potentially again to fill out the room really more than anything else. Not really an upside guy, but a solid tight end.
Indeed. And Greg Olsen recently said that he has not been contacted by the Chicago Bears, so there appears to be no interest in bringing back the former Chicago Bear. But your thoughts on Olsen? Would he potentially be somebody you'd have interest if you were the general manager?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at sort of, we're looking at Trey Burton potentially as one more year guaranteed with the Bears in terms of his cap number, but going forward, who knows? But in terms of having, we don't have a lot of veteran presence at tight end, do we? And we don't have a lot of experience other than Trey Burton. And Trey Burton's someone who has suffered with anxiety and sort of mental issues to a degree. I do temper that. But maybe if there's a veteran presence in the room, some of that responsibility is taken away from him and it makes Trey Burton better. So, yeah, absolutely. I don't understand why Greg Olsen, because the one thing you can say about Greg Olsen is that no matter if his athleticism has dropped off from what it was when we drafted him out of Miami, the guy still gets open, the guy still makes catches, the guy is dependable, down after down after down. So long as he is on the field, and that is the crux of the issue, is can he stay on the field with that foot, those foot, repeated foot injuries that he's had. But when he's on the field, you've got to say that he would be excellent in terms of what he would bring in terms of settling down the other tight ends and bringing that vet presence. I can only see plus sides. I mean, if you're not going to depend on him to be there every single down, which means he's a lower priority free agent, then absolutely, you'd be mad not to bring him in and at least sort of, because he seems to want to come back. I mean, he said he would love to be able to end his career as a Bear, but if he's doing that for leverage for his contract, then I don't see the value for the Bears in that. I mean, if he does genuinely want to come back and finish his career with the Bears, and he's willing to come back around, you know, a lesser salary, given something performance related, if he stays on the field, I would absolutely be down for that, because I think it would help Trey Burton and the other tight ends in the room.
I agree with Harp's assessment in the chat room. He says, actually, there's not too much to pick from the free agent market. I agree with that. And it, to me, it emphasizes, I know a lot of people want to part ways with Trey Burton, but really, it would be so good for this team if they could invest in a draft pick on a tight end, a developmental pick, you know, somebody in the mid rounds. There's some really great names there. And then have Trey Burton, rely on Trey Burton to give us that 2018 season again, yeah, except short for the playoff game. But give us that 60 catch, 800 yards performance that he did in his first season with the Chicago Bears. You think that there's any likelihood that Trey Burton could do that? And then we'll pull the plug on this great episode of Bellissimo.
I think absolutely Trey Burton has. There's nothing diminished about him in terms of his skill sets and his ability. You kind of wonder whether some of his mental issues were perhaps centered around his injury, or, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
So if he's healthy this year, And that means he's able to feel more rested and confident in his body and less anxious, then potentially, you know, there's no reason why he can't get back to that kind of level, and potentially even better than that. You know, if we improve the room as a whole, that's only going to make things better for Trey Burton. The more weapons you have to be able to put on the field, the more gas the defense is going to be, the more difficult it is to scheme for one player. As we mentioned with Bryson Hopkins in his interview, if you're the only guy on the team, teams like with Khalil Mack, you know, I didn't ask him that question. What are you going to do if you have to block Khalil Mack, other than panic? But at the end of the day, it's with Trey Burton, it's a case of if he's fit and well and happy and he's well regulated and he seems like he's okay and he's ready to go, then absolutely, there's no reason why he can't get back to where he was. He's still the same tight end at the end of the day. He's still as fast. He's still as, you know, able to do the blocking that he can do, which is more sort of functional than it is, impactful. But absolutely, certainly, as a receiving threat and his ability to get open downfield, middle of the field kind of guy, it only sort of helps Mitch in terms of him having a solid go-to guy down the field. We need him to perform this way at the end of the day, Aldo, and I think that's the key. So the sand timer is definitely turned up the last time for Trey Burton in his contract with the Bears, I feel, at this point, and it really is time for him to man up and bear down.
George Bayless, a.k.a. Berlissimo, another 3-sack, 5-tackles-for-a-loss performance out of you. Excellent, excellent job. Your guest was excellent. This is one of my favorite Bears Ballroom Radio Network shows of all time. It truly is. I will, as always, let you say goodbye. And again, great job, brother.
Yeah, so everyone out there listening, if you do enjoy it, please let me know, let the barroom know, give ratings and reviews, encourage other people to come and listen, make suggestions for shows, help us get guests on, although it does look like potentially, Aldo, after our 1 week hiatus, I've already got someone else lined up, potentially two. Both players are alike. I would give the tease for that there. So two guys that are alike at two different positions. So hopefully we get those lined up and in a row, and that's ready for when you come back. But I'd like to wish you an enjoyable week off, Aldo. Well deserved. I hope you come back rested, refreshed, happy and ready to go. I can't wait to get back on with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And thank you everyone that joined in live today, because the amount of interaction in the chat room today was fantastic. I hope everyone listening is now a fan of the show and the network, and he's sharing and encourage others to come in and join in with us again, because we love having you here. So take care of each other and bear down.